Now, I prayed for clearness. If it's not clear, raise your hand. I'll stop and you can retranslate it in your head because I am tired, okay? So it was a long day, and this is the third service I'm doing in one day, and so I feel a little numb, you know what I'm saying, in the head. So, all right, let's see. I'm going to go to 12, Patty. The list of names in the brochure, I don't know if you have your names in there, but please get those out. If you don't have some brochures, I have some brochures down here for you for our November 2nd and 3rd services. And I want to make this perfectly clear because it seems like no matter how clear I feel like I'm being, it gets by the time it, a little mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew, all right? So I want to see if I can clear the mist up here so you can not be in the fog. It will be during the services, Saturday night service and the two Sunday services. No other event is happening than that. We're going to have worship, then we're going to go into the video, and then we'll be giving a salvation message to the people. And that's the day that you bring your friends and neighbors, the people across the street, all those kind of things. And whatever you're going to do. And so you have your Matthew list, right? Everybody have a Matthew list now? Okay, you guys don't yet because you just got here after all the flooding on your property, huh? Okay. And so write the names down and be praying, and then also write your name down and pray for yourself that you'll have the courage, okay? All right, the next one is three things that we're supposed to do. Watch the video. Okay, how many have watched the video now? Okay, man, every service is always about the same. I always... Okay, what I'll do is try to figure out how we can watch the video after a service, maybe next week or something for Saturday night. Sunday, Eddie's doing it in the second service, and so that works out pretty good. So watch that. But if you just go on the internet to My Hope America... defining moments. It'll be the first four pop right up there. You take one that's about 28 minutes long and watch it. It'll knock your socks off. It's good. All right. And then second is fill out your Matthew list and then pray for those people that you want to invite. Put on the ones that you're scared to death to invite so it makes it really a great deal. And then three, invite your friends and family November 2nd at 6 o'clock here at this service, or Sunday the 3rd at 9:30 or 11. Everybody got it? Is it? Now, did I clear up the mist in the pulpit and the fog in the pew? Okay, all right. Pardon? Yeah, and I said that. Pray for yourself. Put that on there so you have courage to walk across the street. Okay, now... we finally got the news. The video that's coming is called The Cross with Billy Graham, and it will be aired on KUSA Channel 9 on November 9th, the week after, at 7 o'clock on Saturday, okay? And so you may not be able to do it here, but a lot of the Sunday people will be able to continue on. Or if you have some people, I say drop out of the service and stay home and have them watch that. It will be on TV from 7, I think it's only 7 to 7:30. Okay? All right. Let's get on with our subject. We're on the subject of the mission of our church in evangelism. We, of course, have several missions. A mission to train people up, a mission to serve together. But this one is our mission in our... Man, that bug's going to drive me crazy. And in our mission statement, we say, bringing in, building up, and serving together. And we're looking at the bringing in, which is our mission for the church and evangelism. So if you're not at 2 Corinthians chapter 5:18... it's up here, and you can look at it or turn in your Bibles. Now, all things, which really is the all, which he's talking about all the people in the body of Christ, now the all are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's given us that ministry. Now then, we are ambassadors, we are official representatives for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore, we beg you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled, be resolved, be reunited with God. That's our mission. Sharing Christ with others. And we know that that now is the dead center of God's will. If you share Christ with somebody, you can't get any more dead center in God's will than to share Christ with somebody. That's why when you share Christ, all of a sudden these words start coming out that you didn't know you had in you. You guys know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden you're saying things, and I remember one time I was talking, I felt like I needed to record myself so that I could use it for a sermon or something like that, because I didn't know I knew that much. Okay, and I really think that's the Holy Spirit working through us, because does God want people to be saved and come to knowledge of truth? Yes. Amen, yeah. All right, let's go to our regular verses in Ephesians 2, 18 and 19, and then you will read the yellow, and I'm going to read the white. For through him we both have access. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, and members of the household of God. We're in, guys. We're in. We're citizens. And so he hears us. And here's the real truth, and I've said this every time that we've gone through this series, that the unsaved are heard if they call out on the name of God. And you remember this from Romans 10:13, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. Romans 10:13, Joel 2:32 and Acts 2:21. All right, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to take a look at Moses this evening. I want to talk about our hesitancy to talk, because Moses is our poster child for hesitancy to talk, right? For you who know Moses and or know about Moses. And one of the problems we experience with sharing Christ in an evangelistic way is getting our mouth open and actually talking about God with an unbeliever, isn't it? I don't know why that is. I'm going to talk about one I had this week that was hard, and yet, I don't know, and it's a little confusing, I think, to all of us, because it seems that we have an excellent ability to insert foot in mouth because we talk so much about everything else, right? And sometimes you think, oh, I regret having said that, or whatever, because we talk too much, and yet, when it comes to the subject of evangelism and the approach with someone, all of a sudden we stop. And we have hesitancy, and we become a Moses, okay? So let's begin our scripture reading, and this is what I want us to meditate on tonight. Exodus 4, 10 through 12. And you might remember, just as for some of you who haven't had a lot of background, that Moses was the one that led 5 million people, estimate, out of Egypt through the wilderness for 40 years and into the promised land. He was the guy that did that. And when you look at it, you think, man, oh man, that guy was something. So we get to verse 10 of chapter 4, and it says this. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that can happen to you? The Lord will put words in your mouth. Amen me if you feel like it does. Okay. And if you don't, I just won't embarrass you, okay? Because, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't think that. And I think to myself, well, why in the world would Moses be in the Bible and we look and see his problems if it has no bearing on us, right? Okay. So what's the deal here? Moses thinks he's slow of tongue and he can't speak. And God is saying, who made the mouth? And so in Exodus 3, the previous chapter, verse 8, God states his purpose to Moses. He says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Moses should have understood what was at stake here in the deliverance of Israel. It's not just that God wants his people to be happy, okay? But it's a fulfillment of the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would create a nation out of them in Israel. They're living in Egypt, they're under suffering, and God is going to fulfill that promise and take them back. So what is Moses' response to God telling him, Moses, I have a gift for you, and I'm going to give you a part in this deliverance and the lead role under me, and don't worry about what you're going to say. What is Moses' response? In 3:11, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Now, he tells that to God. Who am I? Who am I to do that? So God pauses, and perhaps to give Moses a little bit of time to change his mind when he realizes who he's talking to, right? But if we read between the lines, we hear God say, you're right, Moses, I didn't choose you because you were a Joel Osteen or a Chuck Swindoll. I chose you because you're weak. Moses, one of my rules of thumb is not to call many wise or powerful or refined people. So you are absolutely right, Moses. You're not the great talker. In fact, you're better with sheep than people. I'm reading between the lines, right? Okay, and bring a little New Testament in it. And that's why I want you, Moses. That's why I want you. Because Moses, you can't do it on your own. Don't you like that in a lot of ways? I'm sure Moses probably was red-faced, you know, when you stop to think about it. And he tried something that millions have tried since Moses, the humility approach, you know. I'm your humble servant and I'm too humble to do what you tell me to do. Because I just don't have the strength and I can't do it. So he used his own insignificance to excuse himself from the task that God had asked him to do. And God answers to that maneuver, and his answer is always the same. Right, you are small and weak, but wrong, it's not an excuse to cop out. Why? Because God says, I will be with you, I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand, he tells Moses. Now, I think this is a real lesson for us tonight. I don't mean Moses' stubbornness or low self-esteem. I mean God's patience with Moses in us. It reads, the Lord, a merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Now, like I say, let me use myself as an illustration. Do you know what I thought when God, and maybe you kind of do, because for some of you have been around for a while, when I first really felt like God was pressing me to become a pastor? Well, my first thought was, I'm not going to become a Christian because he's going to make me one. That was my first thought. But when I got past that, I felt just like Moses. I felt like yelling out, aren't you listening to me? I can't speak in public. I can't remember what I'm supposed to say, and my knees shake and I go blank when I get in front of people. And God carved Exodus 4:11 on my heart when that was my response. And it goes like this again. Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? In other words, he's saying, Moses, I have created people who are deaf, and they can't hear, and mute, and they can't speak, and I haven't created you that way at all, Moses. You have a mouth. You can hear. You can do it. Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And we read Moses, and Moses did it. And God did teach him every day what he was to say, as we read the account. And I have the assumption at that point that God should pick only the people with special natural abilities to deliver his word. I remember when I was in college, I was good friends with a guy, and we all sang in an eight-member octet. And I can remember that guy could preach. Oh, man, could he preach? He never became a preacher. And I remember we got to this church on the East Coast, and it was Easter, and we were supposed to do all our music and that kind of thing. And so they wanted to do their music, and then we were going to do our music, and then he had about 7 minutes to preach. And so he says, well, you only got 7 minutes to preach. And he just lowered his head and said, okay, I'm ready. And he preached one of the best sermons I ever heard in 7 minutes. And I thought, oh, I could never, never be like that guy. Never. He was unbelievable. And so he actually went to a church and was there for about a year, and then he gave up and became a professor in college because he didn't like being in the ministry. He was a person with special natural abilities to deliver God's word, and he didn't do it. Instead, he chose me. But there are several flaws in the assumption, and Moses is aware of at least one of them. Moses knows that God can take a person of no eloquence and then give it to him and change him into an eloquent, persuasive speaker. I'm still waiting for the eloquence. Okay. Look at verse 10 again. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I think here's what God's last argument is to Moses' excuse. And we make the same excuses, don't we? We don't live up to the guy next to us. We don't have the talent. We don't have this or that. And then all of a sudden we stay in Never Never Land, never serving God in a great way that he built us to do. I think God's telling Moses, if it's not enough to hear me say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if it's not enough to see the burning bush and it not be consumed, if it's not enough to hear me say, I will be with you, if it's not enough to know me as I am who I am, if it is not enough to hear me say, I will bring you up out of the affliction, if it is not enough to see me turn the rod into a snake and make your hand leprous and bring it out clean again, then listen to this, Moses. I made your mouth. I made your mouth. Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you in the moment what you shall speak. And we look at it. Moses simply didn't trust in God. And oh man, is there an application for us? We just simply don't trust God. We're scared to death. Am I speaking to you tonight? I, like you, have so many times have not trusted God in the situations, and yet you know what God's proof is in my life? I have been preaching for 21 years in this church. Well, not this church, but I mean our church, okay, our people. 21 years, and I have never missed the pulpit other than when somebody else was speaking. Never. And I've had compressed weeks, you know what I'm talking about, compressed weeks, and it just comes. And I get it down, and on Sunday I'm there, or Saturday night I'm there. There's other weeks where it's hard to come in and it's not a busy week and it takes me all week to get that sermon together because God, I think, is saying to me, Steve, I want you in my word as much as possible, but I understand sometimes you have a hard time. And he does that in my life. And if you think about it, he does that in your life in different areas. And I've had weeks, like I say, like last week, I had two weddings and a funeral and two sermons, or 2 weeks ago, and we had a wedding here, and we had a funeral here, and now we're having a sermon. And so I laid back this week, or this especially this week, but last week too, and I thought, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to give up on the stress, and I'm going to just let it come, and I'm going to rely on God, and I'm going to get it done. Guess what? Made every one of them. Every one of them. And we think that God is a God who doesn't really help us and doesn't help us along when we serve him. Hey, if you're serving him, man, he's getting off on that. And he's going to help you. And if it's your mouth, he's going to help you with your mouth. If it's your arms, he's going to help you with your arms. Because our priority is God, isn't it? Or at least we say that. You know, I do a little thing in counseling. We call it values, and it's a bunch of cards, you know. And on it, it will say, like, your job or your children, this kind of thing. And there's one card that says God on it. Everybody puts that card first. But when you look at their life, it isn't always first, right? It's fourth or fifth or tenth or 20th in those cards. So my prayer this evening is that you and I might feel more trust in God for him to speak through you and I to people who need Christ. When we talk to people, that we might have more courage to open our mouth, just as Paul said, pray for me that I might have courage. Remember that in Ephesians 6? That I might have courage to tell the people about Christ. And because he loves the lost so deeply and God desires that they be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, I think we have to trust him with our mouth too. Because we're all Moses. And overcome the fears and share our faith with those who don't know Christ in a personal way. Being willing to greet people even here that we don't know and enter our doors or our neighbors across the street or whatever. So, and especially we're kind of focused on the November 2nd and 3rd. And I don't necessarily want to focus on that. I want to focus, this is our regular life. That we invite friends and neighbors that don't know Christ or we talk to them. And we have these services coming up and that's a good special day because it starts driving us. But you know, several weeks ago, I saw my neighbor out spraying his blacktop because he'd been doing some work and it got stained. And he has this little pitiful 1400 power washer, so I got out my 3000. And I took it and I rolled it across the street and I said, here, why don't you try this? And so we started blowing all the stuff off. I started talking to him and it was about half an hour, 45 minutes later before we got done. And he did all the talking. I just did the questions. I just asked him how he was doing, and I said, man, I really want to see what you did on your lawn, and so he showed me all that, and then we were talking, and he went on, and we talked a ton. And I thought, you know what, that teaches me, again, people want to talk, right? And they want to talk about themselves. And so if we just ask questions, hey, where do you work? You know, these kind of things, they will talk. It doesn't have to be hard. And so I thought about my list, and this week I met with a friend of mine who is on my Matthew list. He is an atheist, okay? And I love him to death, okay? And so we're driving along, we're driving down the road, and we're talking, and he asked me a question, and without thinking, I answered in Scripture. Forgot how he was. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, did I offend you by using the Bible? And he goes, well, no, I think the Bible's full of a lot of wisdom. I don't mind. I thought, whoa. And so then he goes on to say, after that, he says, he told me that when I was young, he said, you should see my Bible. I got this big Bible at home. It's real thick. And as a kid, I used to read it all the time. But, you know, as an adult, I have it around, but I don't read it anymore. And so I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, would you consider yourself an agnostic or an atheist? He went, He said, I've been thinking about that a lot. Now, I didn't know he was thinking about it because he was a staunch atheist before he met me. Okay? I'm not just saying me because I think other people have spoken into his life. And he said, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And he said, I think I'm an atheist. Now, I left it there because he's going to think about what he said. Because he just denied God and said there is no God, and now he has to think about it. And so when I meet up with him again, I'm going to say, okay, now I'm this atheist thing, and I'm going to just talk to him again and talk to him again. He's on my Matthew list. I'm going to try to invite him to either this service or the Sunday service. Excuse me. And I think to myself, why is he thinking about it? If he truly doesn't believe in God, he doesn't care, he doesn't think about it, right? Let's look at it logically. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to be contemplating it all the time. Well, it was my big problem as atheist, is I kept on contemplating it every day, every hour, the whole time I was denying God. I was thinking, boy, I hope he's not really there, because if he's there, I'm in big trouble, you know? And I think my friend feels exactly the same way. So I hope he comes. I'm praying for him. And I'm going to invite him, and I'm going to invite those neighbors. I'm going to take some tickets across and say, you know, it was fun talking with you, and he kind of owes me a favor now. So I'm just going to give him the tickets and tell him it's for him and his family, and we'd love to have him come over. Have you seen the building yet? And then I'm going to go to my other neighbor who said, boy, that's really pretty big. I like to see it sometimes. So I'm going to go over and say, you know, you told me last summer that you really wanted to see the building. Well, here's some tickets. We're going to do kind of a special. We're going to have a movie. We're going to show a movie. And so I want to invite you to watch the movie with us, and then I'll take you for a tour on the building. Okay. So will you open your mouth, Moses? Or Mosette? Will you take the extra step and open up and invite them here as your first step if you aren't a witnesser, if that's a real hard thing for you? Make the first step. Take the first step. Invite them here. November 2nd at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, and we're going to show a movie. Right? And we got tickets coming next week. I thought they'd be here this week, but they'll be here next week, and you'll be able to take those tickets. It gives them all the information. And then you can tell them, look, I'll take you out for dinner. We have soup afterwards, and we're going to serve soup and a meal, and we can sit down and eat together afterwards and have a good time. And then let the Holy Spirit do all the rest. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. You're a wonderful God.